بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, it's an absolutely beautiful day in New England, and everybody keeps saying this is one of the final good days before the winter sets in. I think this is probably the good side of global warming, if there is such a thing, where we are still seeing warm weather at a time when not snow, but it should have become considerably colder. They are predicting rain in the next 3-4 days. And so before that happens, today I want to also go for a walk in the countryside, inshallah. So let's see. I like to start with what I'm looking at before I go into the Fajr reminder per se. And so what I'm looking at is two trees which are changing color, but at different stages. So one is getting to become more orange, and the other one is still green and yellow. And I will post the pictures with this for the reminder. I'm looking at another tree which is full of lovely red berries. They're not edible, but they look very nice on the tree. And then I'm looking at this whole expanse of grass with a maple there, which is the beautiful color of maple, which is a sort of very deep mauve red, which is in the middle of that lot of grass. So very, very peaceful and very nice things to see. Alhamdulillah, the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful everywhere. The ayat I want to speak about today, as a reminder to myself and you, is the first of the ayats which describe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Ibad al-Rahman, the slaves of Ar-Rahman, of the most beneficent and most merciful. You're probably hearing a sort of hissing sound in the back, and that is the sound of the breeze which is blowing through the leaves of the trees. I'm not in a forest, but I'm at the edge of one, and the breeze blowing through those leaves makes this hissing sound. I remind myself of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa where he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause a breeze to blow in the Jannah where the leaves will touch against one another as they are doing here, but instead of the hissing sound, you will get the most beautiful sound of music. And he said this is for those who do not listen to music in this life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us not to do that. To come back to Al-Ibad al-Rahman, and this is not really come back in the sense that my comment earlier was not away from that, I want to mention two things. First of all, Ibad or Abd, once again the victim of wrong translation, a servant of Allah. An abd is not a servant, an abd is a slave. Try calling an Arab abd and you will see the difference between a servant and a slave. The reason I'm saying that is because not because of semantics, but because of the actual meaning of the word. A servant is somebody who volunteers to work for someone, is paid a salary for his job, and who has the power to resign and leave at any time that he wants. There may be a notice period or something like that, but other than that, a servant is his or her own master, and they can leave when they want to leave. They are not necessarily, within quotes, enslaved to the employer. And the reason we say that is because there is a difference between a servant and a slave. A slave, on the other hand, doesn't volunteer to be the slave of somebody. A slave is the property of the owner, and that is the reason why slavery is wrong for anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are only and only the slaves of the one who created us, who made us. We are not the slaves of any human being, and slavery is completely and totally wrong. As I say, if slavery is not wrong, then nothing is wrong. So slavery is due, and it is valid, and it is owed only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we read the word abd in the Quran, it means slave, it does not mean servant, no matter how it's translated. Now what is the difference? The difference is, on the part of the servant, as I said, the servant can join up with somebody, he can work for somebody, and he can leave that person, number one. Number two, the person who is employing the servant, he or she is liable only for the salary that they have contracted for that, with that person, nothing else. So if the person comes, he has been paid his full salary, but he comes to the employer and he says, you know, I have this sudden need for extra money. I have maybe a bereavement in the family, or I have somebody who's fallen sick, or some need I have and I need extra money. Can you please give it to me? It is entirely up to the employer to give or to refuse. And in either case, the employer would be justified to do that. The employer is justified in refusing to give the servant extra money, because that is not part of the contract. The contract was to give the salary was paid, finished. If the employer now agrees to give the servant extra money, then you would say, well, he's a good employer, alhamdulillah, he's a passionate person, a compassionate person, and we applaud that, we recommend that even. We would say, this, you should do that if you can afford to do it. But nobody on the face of the earth is going to say, that is your duty. It is not my duty. It is not my duty to give my servant anything extra just because he or she needs it at that point in time. On the other hand, as far as a slave is concerned, a slave didn't sign up to be somebody's slave. But if that person is a slave, then that slave's complete and total maintenance, his safety, his happiness, is the responsibility of the owner. Totally and completely. Whatever the slave needs, it is the job of the owner to provide it. Whether it is medical aid, whether it is money, food, shelter, protection, whatever. Now, don't be carried away by how people used to treat, or even today, slavery is most sadly and tragically alive and well. In the world, there is urban slavery, there is human trafficking, and all of it is characterized by brutality, by oppression. By its very nature, it's oppressive and brutal. Now, so I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about humans keeping other humans as slaves, because as I said earlier, that itself is haram. That itself is completely and totally something which is wrong. I know a lot of you listening to this are going to say, well, how can you say that, because in Islam it is permitted. Let me assure you, in Islam it is not permitted, and we will talk about that later on as to how and why it is not permitted. Many people get carried away and they say, well, Islam didn't ban slavery. Well, let me tell you, Islam did ban slavery. The way it was banned is different, and that's not part of this discussion. But part of this discussion definitely is to say that being a slave means the person who owns the slave is completely and totally responsible for the slave. So on the part of the servant, for example, salary apart, a servant has to look out for his other needs, and he must find means of fulfilling those other needs from sources other than his or her employer. Whereas for a slave, there is only one employer, that is the owner. And anything the slave needs, the slave has the right. Not just, he's not doing it out of, the owner is not just being, you know, it's not being recommended, please do, no. It is a right of the slave to go and ask the owner and say, this is what I need, and then it becomes the duty of the owner to fulfill that need. And the reason I'm saying that is Allah has called His slaves Ibadur Rahman. The point to understand here is Allah called, didn't just call them Ibad, and He didn't say Ibadullah because we are also Ibadullah. He said Ibadur Rahman. Now these are the slaves, and they are slaves of who? The slaves of the most beneficent and the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, we know, has many, many, many attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Razzaqu Dhul Quwwatil Mateen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khallaqul Aleem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Dhul Jalali Wal Ikram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq Kulli Ashya Wal Ahwal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything, all things and all conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator who continuously creates. He didn't just stop creating at one point in time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides from sources that we cannot imagine, who provides through His power and authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. Ala kulli shayin qadir. He has the qudrat and He has the power over every single thing that exists and can exist. Yet Allah did not mention His power when He mentioned His slaves. He mentioned His mercy, He mentioned His compassion, He mentioned His forgiveness. Subhanallah al-Azim, this is the beauty and magnificence and glory of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, that He mentioned what He mentioned. And therefore we take a lot of hope from this, and we say we are not just slaves, we are the slaves of the most compassionate. You are the slaves of the most merciful. We are the slaves of the most forgiving. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu Amma Nawaluhu. Now this is what I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, do give this some thought. And we'll come to the ayat in due course, inshallah, tomorrow and so forth and so on. But just now reflect, I reflect and I request you to reflect. What is the meaning of Al-Ibadur Rahman? The slaves of the most merciful. And then ask yourself this question and say, do I want to become Abdur Rahman? Do I want to become a slave of Ar-Rahman, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Believe me, we are His creatures, whether we like it or not, whether we deny Him, whether we worship Him, whether we accept Him and or not accepting and reject Him, it makes no difference to the glory and majesty of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. We are His slaves, we are His creatures, and there is no way of escaping that. If somebody wants to escape it, why would they want to? But if they do, they still can't do it. However, we do have a choice in terms of joyfully accepting the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which does not demean, which does not oppress, which does not discount us, but which ennobles and which makes the slave, which raises the standard and the level of the slave in this dunya wal akhirah. The one who joyfully accepts the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who said, I would like to be Al-Abdur Rahman. I want to be the Abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave this title to the one and only, his last and final messenger, the Imam al-Anbiya, the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the Rahmatul Lil Alameen, and He gave him the title of Abdur Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he called him Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, how do we address you? They said, Abduhu wa Rasuluhu. He said, as the slave and the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallazi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa samiul basir. In Surah Al-Isra, the first ayah, towards Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abd, my slave. And we want to say, are we His followers? Are we His ummati? Therefore, are we the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Please do reflect on what is the meaning of being a true slave of Allah. What is the duty, therefore, of the slave of reiterating and confirming and proving that I am the slave of Allah and not of anyone or anything else? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and to accept you in His slavery and to refer to you as my slave. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.